play. Another foul on Ward. His third for setting a screen.
Because of physical play, although Jordan Taylor just got caught with a moving screen.
Pick and roll. And a foul. Offensive foul coming up. Dead battle box. Get it right there.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Moving Screen Podcast. I'm Brendan Quinn of The Athletic with Dylan Burkhart, UM Hoops. Dylan, it's one of our favorite days of the year. It's preseason poll time.
It is, and I can actually get excited about this. Last week I was a little not all in on start of practice, but talking about teams, talking about takes, disagreeing with people, it brings it all back.
Yes. Last week, wet blanket Burkhart was brutal. It's like pulling teeth trying to get you excited. I've been fired up. I'm ready to go.
Nothing gets me excited like awful takes on basketball, so we have a lot to chew
this
apart
is what
here.
We do, man. There's no games to watch or analyze. There's no data for you to start mining. There's no shot charts for you. All it is takes right now. This is fun.
There's still data from last season. Let's be serious.
All right. Quick business before we jump into the preseason poll data, which was released today by myself on The Athletic and Adam Jardy of the Columbus Dispatch. We've been doing it for 3 years. We compile preseason poll from two voters representing all 14 schools, and that's our way of usurping the league office and making our own poll that we think is a little bit more democratic and complete. Because the problem with the league office polls is that they only give you the top three, so that there's no losers. But we know damn well there are losers out there, and they happen to reside in Evanston and Lincoln, especially this year. So we will get into that soon. But we want to make sure to tell you that if you support this podcast, to subscribe to The Athletic and to subscribe to UM Hoops. What do you got cooking over there, Dylan?
Big Ten Media Day this week. We're going to get to see what Juwan Howard has to say for really only the second time since he's been hired, and we're just really getting into the season here. You have anything special coming up over there?
Yeah, likewise. Well, I'll have a story on Joshua Langford coming shortly. Spent some time with him to talk about his injury coming back and what he's going to look like as a senior. All of the things that we've discussed on this podcast, I discussed with Josh, and I think it'll be interesting to
shot selection
to get into. We talk shot selection, man. We talk efficiency.
I'll tune in.
We get into it. It's interesting. So I'll have that. I'll have media day coverage. Today's story on the preseason poll has all of my thoughts on each team and kind of my rationale for some of the decisions I made. And I also gave a 1 through 15 first team, second team, third team, all conference picks. I wanted to give them all the content. So that's there. Feel free to hop in the comments, tell me I'm an asshole and an idiot, and we'll do our thing like usual. So subscribe to The Athletic, subscribe to UM Hoops, share this podcast, and let's get down to it. You got anything else, Dylan, to sell the people on?
No, I'll be sure to point out where you're an asshole in your projections during this podcast as well to give people a head start.
That's what they're here for. Okay, so this is the official, unofficial preseason poll in the Big Ten.
I like that. Has that always been part of the branding, or is that new this year?
Yes, for the 3 years. So this used to be done by a collection of older writers over the past, like, 20 years. They did it back in the day. Most recently by Bob Baptist of the Columbus Dispatch. He retired. It lay dormant for a year, and then Adam and I brought it back. So this is our third year doing it. And, yeah, we asked for 28 beat writers, including ourselves, to provide a 1 through 14 projection in the league, plus a first-team all-conference and a player of the year and a freshman of the year. So we'll start there. Freshman of the year is DJ Carton of Ohio State. Player of the year is, not surprisingly, Cassius Winston. Not unanimous.
Ridiculous.
We had one outlier.
which is ridiculous.
My man Dave Jones of out there in Harrisburg and covering Penn State went his own way, as he tends to do. I've known Dave for a long time, since I was fresh out of college and covering games in the Philadelphia area. Dave is a legend, both in reality and in his own mind. I hope he hears this. Also, a recent inductee into the USBWA Hall of Fame last year. So maybe he knows what he's talking about. Maybe he doesn't. But he voted for Jalen Smith. And we'll get into the Freshman of the Year conversation a little bit here. But let's get to the poll. I will start at the bottom, work my way up. How's that sound?
I think that makes the most sense.
Here we go. At number 14 was Northwestern. Probably because it couldn't go any lower. Number 13 is Nebraska, a new head coach, Fred Hoiberg. Number 12, I think this is terrible, but at number 12, Rutgers, the Scarlet Knights.
What's terrible?
At number 12, we'll get into it. Number 11, Minnesota. Number 10, Indiana. Number 9, Penn State. Number 8, Iowa. Number 7, Illinois. Interesting. Number 6, Wisconsin. Number 5, Michigan. Number 4, Purdue. Number 3, Ohio State. Number 2, Maryland. And number 1, obviously, the Michigan State Spartans, the defending conference champions, Final Four participant from 2018-19. They ran away with this thing, 27 of 21 first place votes. The outlier, of course, Dave Jones, who picked Maryland. But otherwise, Michigan State in a runaway, not surprisingly. What was the first thing that jumped out to you, Dylan?
Well, hold on. I want to ask a little bit of a counting question here.
Okay.
Here we go. How do you score the votes? So we have like vote numbers with each team. You want to explain sort of the...
Well, Adam compiled that. I would guess that...
It's an Ernst & Young certified vote. Like, how sure are we of the scoring?
Scoring, yes. I mean, Adam compiled it. He's far brighter than I am, especially with numbers. But a first place vote would, I think, account for 14 points.
Okay. I think we can point out here, there's maybe a couple spots where some teams are really bunched together in terms of the number of votes they received, and some teams are far apart. For example, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Illinois at 5-6-7, there is 16 votes between them.
Great point.
Big gap. There's another 50 votes to get up to Purdue at 4.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a pretty clear tier.
And then a huge drop off to Iowa at 8.
Yep. Right. From 7, you drop another 60 votes to Iowa, who's kind of bunched up there with Penn State, Indiana. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to point that out, where it really comes down to a couple ballots here or there that can determine the gap between those tiers. But you do see those trends kind of emerge when you look at the whole list.
Mm hmm. Do you think this is a fair representation of the league?
Yeah. I think there was only one or two teams that were more than one or two spots off of my vote. So I do think that it's fairly accurate in that regard. I think that another gap we can talk about is there's 42 votes from Michigan State to Maryland, which would take you all the way. The next three teams are all in a 40-point span. So
yeah,
it's Michigan State's league to win this year. I don't think that's any secret. I don't know. I don't look at this list overall and say there's some huge outlier. Do you see one?
I don't. If I had to sketch up what I imagined it was going to look like, it would have looked something like this. I was a little bit curious to see how that 2-3-4 voting would turn out.
I think people were higher on Purdue in preseason magazines than beat writers were that cover the league, which I found a bit interesting. I guess a little surprised to see Purdue at 4.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, just because, you know, Carson Edwards is Carson Edwards and it was seen as his team. I talked myself into voting Purdue. What did I have them at? I want to say 3. Yeah, I had Purdue at 3. And a lot of it has to do with what Matt Painter and that program have done, and, you know, what that brand of basketball is and the system that's firmly in place. Since 2014, here's Purdue's conference finishes. T1, T2, first place solo, T3, T3. That's in the last 5 years. And I know they lose Carson Edwards, but before that they lost Biggie Swanigan. And I think that the program kind of just has it going right now. And there's a lot of question marks around Purdue, no doubt. Mainly who's going to score the ball and how. But the league isn't strong enough, I think, for me to drop them down anywhere outside the top four.
Yeah, I wrote in my piece, kind of breaking down my ballot, I said, it makes no sense that this team should be any good. They were a two-man offense. They lose their best offensive players. They're going to build around a point guard who can't shoot, a grad transfer from the Big South, a couple sophomores, just a weird roster. But college basketball is about coaches, and mm-hmm. Matt Painter is my favorite coach in the Big Ten. I'm not going to bet against him in that regard. And you look at the league, and that kind of is how it plays out usually when you have an established head coach who you really trust.
Yeah, and I mean, like, they do have guys. You know, no Joe Eastern. I know you're not the biggest fan, but, I think he's one of the 10 best players in the conference. They're going to run efficient stuff, even if they don't have high-level scores. I could still certainly see them being, like, top 30 nationally in efficiency, even with a team that you're going to kind of scratch your head and say, how, why? You know, their defense is always right there, regardless. I think with Nojel Eastern and Matt Harms down low, you know, like right there, it's not going to be easy getting buckets against Purdue, I don't think. Plus the brand of basketball they play. So, yeah, I think it's pretty clear that they're a top four or five team just based on it, Purdue basketball being Purdue basketball. What do you think could be – do you think – I mentioned Sasha Stefanovic in my little write-up here. I think he could be a guy that no one's really heard of going into the year who comes out of nowhere and makes like 120-something threes or something crazy this year.
Yeah, well, Matt Painter, I think, teaches shooting on the run better than any coach in college basketball. And they, like, the shots Ryan Klein hit, the shots that Dakota Mathias hit before him, I don't know what they're doing there. I mean, you'd think every coach in college basketball is doing a lot of the same shooting drills, but Purdue teaches that so well, so I would not be surprised at all to see Stefanovic. Like, Purdue can scheme around a guy who can just shoot, mm-hmm. a guy who can not shoot in Nojel Eastern. I can see that working. I'm really excited to see Aaron Wheeler and Eric Hunter, though. I think mm-hmm. that sophomore duo, I mean, they flashed talent. I think they have kind of that ability to raise Purdue's ceiling this year if someone's going to do it.
Right. And Travion Williams could probably average 14 and 8 to no one's surprise.
Yep. I mean, there's peace. It's just going to be – Purdue's really reinvented themselves over the last couple seasons, and they've just come up with ways to score in completely different formats of teams, right? You had a post-up team. Last year's team basically only shot threes. We don't know what this will look like. It'll be fun to see how they make all of that really work.
Yeah.
The teams that we really disagreed with in the top four, I guess we can just kind of go through it and poke holes where we disagreed, mm-hmm. but Ohio State and Maryland. I had Maryland number two, you had Maryland number four, and you had Ohio State at number two.
Yeah, we flip-flopped our two and four spots.
Sell me on Ohio State as number two in the league. Tell me, is it just because of your irrational hate for Anthony Cowan that you can't put Maryland in number two spot? Like, I can't see how you can pick anyone other than Maryland at number two.
I think overall talent-wise and body-wise, I like more bodies on Ohio State than I like on Maryland. You know, I'm not a huge Caleb Wesson fan, but Caleb Wesson is going to produce a lot of points and a lot of rebounds. Look, and some of this is, you know, rolling the dice on what is Alonzo Gaffney, what is DJ Carton, what is CJ Walker. I'm not sure, but I just don't think the Big Ten is that good. And I think Ohio State has the makeup of a team that surprises a little bit. And I love Chris Holtmann. So he's one of the best coaches in the country. And
are you saying you don't love Mark Turgeon?
I don't love Mark Turgeon. I think Mark Turgeon gets a bad rap. I'm not a total Mark Turgeon hater like a lot of people out there, including yourself. But
No.
I thought you were.
No, I...
Maybe it's just I assume everyone is other than myself.
I have some Maryland takes here.
Okay.
Seven of their top eight last year were freshmen or sophomores. Six of those guys are back. Obviously, they lose Bruno Fernando. They were the 349th oldest team in the country last year. Now they have a senior point guard. They have a bunch of those freshmen back as sophomores. They have two 40% three-point shooters. I mean, what don't you like about this team? They have a pro inside in Jalen Smith, who we all agree kind of has another level in his game. They've won double-digit games most years in the Big Ten under Turgeon, even though everyone acts like he's this terrible coach. What's the knock on Maryland?
Well, first of all, I mean, you said all that without the thing that interests me the most about Maryland, I think, is Wiggins could have a breakout year.
Yeah, he's one of the two 40% three-point shooters.
I like him a lot. I just don't like Maryland to finish second. I don't know what to tell you, man. Like it feels like anytime they're in a big game, they don't win the big games. So, they have one of the best home court advantages in the country without a doubt, but it just seems like there constantly is a flaw there. And, is it Anthony Cowan? I don't know, but, look at the stats. It's like you can rattle off all those numbers, but now look at that. Like, but then go look and tell me the numbers when they played the top, say, top 50 okay. RPI teams.
Bringing back the RPI
or whatever. RIP. Jesus, you know what I mean. Sorry.
Most teams when they lose have worse stats. So obviously, like, they weren't a great team last year. They were like one of the 10 youngest teams in Division I. I just think that there's a lot of potential there. Here's what I put it, though. I'm not going to pick Maryland as the team that I would say could upset Michigan State and win it. I think they'll win a lot of games. I don't know that they'll win those big games, like you said. I don't know that they can get there. But I just think they're the safest bet for number two in the league.
Safest bet? Yeah, probably. And they're also the safest bet that at the end of the season, you're scratching your head being like, man, Maryland really just never did it for me this year, but they still managed to win 14 games in the league. And finish fourth.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? Like,
I like the pieces. I like that team. Ohio State, where do you think they finished in offensive efficiency in the Big Ten last year?
Well, they turned the ball over way more than they should have, and they were never not a typical Chris Holtman team.
Second to last.
They didn't have a point guard. Now they have two of them.
They had two bad ones last year, I'd say. But here's the thing. You're going to build your team around Caleb Wesson. Caleb Wesson was really good last year.
I don't think they're going to build their team around Caleb Wesson.
And you still had the second worst offense in the Big Ten.
Chris Holtman's a really, really good coach. They're not going to build their team around Caleb Wesson. They've got guys. They've got guys who can move the ball around the perimeter, who can score on the perimeter, who can get to the basket. Caleb Wesson, just bury his ass on the block and use him when you need him. But I don't think it's going to be everything goes through Wesson. He'll get his. You don't need to run everything through him.
Yeah, I think for Ohio State, it comes down to making more threes. They shot the second most threes in the Big Ten last year and were 10th in accuracy. So I picked them fourth. I'm not saying I'm down on Ohio State, but all those freshmen, all those sophomores need to make threes more consistently, and they'll definitely have an upgrade in talent in the backcourt. It's just how those pieces all fit together. And how quickly I'm kind of waiting to see.
But you also talked about all those young guys on Maryland who are now a year older. Well, what about Luther Muhammad? What about Kyle Young? What about Dwayne Washington? You could say the same thing.
But Maryland was a better team than Ohio State last year.
Maryland had someone who could at least play point guard. Ohio State didn't.
Hope CJ Jackson doesn't listen to the podcast.
Sorry, CJ. And what about Andre Wesson?
Great glue guy. I like him.
I think Andre Wesson takes a step forward this year and goes from glue guy to dude.
I just wish you could give Caleb his brother's heart. That's all I'm going to say.
Right?
I know it.
I know it. That is 100%
true. If you flip those two things, Caleb Wesson could be an All-American.
No doubt.
Did
you happen to see my third team All-League?
I did not. I have a couple. I saw parts of it mentioned. I have not broken down the whole
list. One of my rolls of the dice is I put Andre West at third team all league.
That would be a roll.
Yes. Yikes. I'm not saying he's going to be Kade Bates-Diop, but sometimes you have to bet on seniors, and I just love Andre Wesson. He's just such a tough son of a bitch. It's not like he's a non-commodity. He had double figures in 15 to 35 games last year. He was the most improved player on the team. He was one of the most improved players in the conference. I just think he takes another step forward as a senior. And basically, put it this way, if I'm picking Ohio State to finish second in the league, someone other than Caleb Wesson has to be all conference, so I went with Andre.
Here's my thing with Ohio State, and I wanted to get to this later, but there are so many people on this roster,
mm-hmm.
and there are so many. There's only five spots on the floor. The top two players picked for freshman of the year, both at Ohio State.
Sure,
Caleb Wesson, first team All Big Ten in the poll. You're saying guy like Andre Wesson.
Mm-hmm.
Where are all these guys going to play?
Couldn't you say the same thing about Maryland?
No, no one else on Maryland is getting hyped up other than Anthony Cowan and Jalen Smith.
That's not true. I was just hyping up Aaron Wiggins.
Okay, but my point is that I find that there's some sort of weird thing. Like, all those guys aren't going to win individual honors, right? I think it's crazy to think that for freshman of the year, two Ohio State people are at the top two on the list when really, the key to being freshman of the year is that there's no one else around you to take any shots away.
Couldn't it also speak to their overall talent?
It could. And I think they're both good players, but...
Well, and that's kind of what I was saying in the beginning of this. When he asked me to sell you on Ohio State, I said, I'm looking at this roster, and there's just a lot of bodies that I like. Like, do you not... I like Kyle Young. Like, I think Kyle Young is a winning Big Ten basketball player.
If Ohio State's going to be as good as you think, then Kyle Young's probably going to play a smaller role this year.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if Kyle Young is a dude who's giving you 17 minutes a game, like, I think those are going to be 17 really good minutes. And they have a lot of bodies like that. That's all I'm saying. You give all those bodies to a coach like Chris Holtmann. Now, if Carton or CJ Walker aren't ready to be legit dudes, and I think that they are, this is kind of a moot point, but... I know you're high on CJ Walker, aren't you?
Yeah, I like the bodies. I just think there's a lot of pieces there, and how they all fit together and work together is interesting. Like, you know how Maryland will play. I don't know how Ohio State will play. Right. I'm curious to see it.
I also know Maryland is the team that was storming toward a pretty decent seed in the NCAA tournament and proceeded to lose to Penn State and Nebraska in the last 2 weeks of the season. So there's that too.
Podcast bet, who finishes higher?
I'm down.
All right, there we go. Maryland versus Ohio State.
I love it.
Put it on the books.
Love it. And I'm not. I won't even. I should get odds, but I won't even take them.
What? How different were their polling? They were 13 votes apart in the preseason poll, and that is mostly because someone picked Maryland first, and I'm going to go ahead and venture a guess. Let's get into the picks outside of the top four. We can't spend all day arguing about Maryland and Ohio State.
I think that's good podcasting, though. You want to talk Michigan at fifth?
Yeah, we can start there. Where did you have Michigan picked?
I picked Michigan fifth.
Okay. I picked Michigan sixth. So we had Michigan and Illinois flipped.
Correct.
I can see if Michigan at fifth. I'm not going to debate that.
No, I mean, the question is here's the better question for Michigan, is what's the ceiling and what's the floor when you look at them in the... like their potential landing places in the league. Like, I think five is maybe a touch, I wouldn't say generous, just because of they do have all league talent coming back. But there's just so many unknowns that, like, I don't think you could rationally pick Michigan to finish higher than fourth. I mean, that's a gamble I wouldn't be ready to take. How low could they go? I could see them finishing 8th.
So they were polled everywhere from 4th to 11th.
The 11th vote is completely insane, but who was that?
I'll give you two guesses.
Is it Dave Jones?
It was.
We might have to have Dave Jones on the pod.
But my point is, most people had them in that 4, 5, 6, 7 range, I would say.
Yeah.
Which seems about right, which is a team that... The way you look at Michigan is this. Their top three is as good, probably, as you're going to get with the top three for maybe anyone other than Michigan State, right?
Yeah.
I think you feel good about Simpson, Livers, Teske as a 1-3-5.
Yeah.
What if you fit in from every other spot on the court is a complete mystery right now, and that makes it really hard to pick where they end up.
And the interesting thing is if John Beilein were the head coach still,
same it would be a Matt Painter factor.
Same roster, right. I feel like Michigan would, across the board, be picked 3rd through 5th.
Yeah, I think I would have a hard time getting past 4th just based on the talent that Maryland and Ohio State have. But they would be right there with Purdue where you're like, okay, it's Matt Painter, it's John Beilein, we're just going to pencil him in here, kind of like you used to do with Wisconsin back in the day with Bo Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, they lost an elite head coach, top recruit, top three scorers. There's a lot of moving pieces there, right? So that was kind of where I went 6th, where I'm trying to say, what is the best case here and what are the chances you get to that best case, right? There's just so much unknown compared to some other teams. That's kind of where I settled.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole Xavier Simpson, John Teske, Isaiah Livers. It's so hard because if you put, that trio somewhere else, I'm not sure anyone is really, over the moon on it, willing to say that that's enough to have a top five team in the conference. Because if you're a top five team in the conference, then you're saying Michigan's going to the NCAA tournament in Juwan Howard's first year.
To be fair, you are basically put in that top three somewhere 100. Else. It's a brand new program.
Sure.
It's a completely different program. You're swapping it and seeing how it fits.
Right.
I think every Michigan fan would tell you they love that top three and would take it over just about any other top three in the league, though.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's 90% of my mentions whenever we talk about any of this stuff is
right.
The top three team that Michigan has is elite.
Yeah, and I think, and then Franz Wagner is the wild card. We have no idea what this kid is going to do. And if he is elite shooter, elite passer, guy who can do some stuff off the bounce, a legitimate freshman of the year candidate, then yeah, this could be, I think, the 4th best team in the conference, maybe better depending on what the others do. But, at the same time, I could just as equally see, Franz Wagner in over his head, Brandon Johns being not much different than Brandon Johns last year. You can easily strip down Michigan and find reasons that you're just like, I'm not seeing this at all, especially when you take out the kind of unifying theory of, okay, this all works because John Beilein is John Beilein and the system is the system. That's gone. So, when I said, if you take these guys and put them other places, that's kind of what I meant. Xavier Simpson as a point guard is another school where you're just kind of like, I'm not sure what he is. Same with, Isaiah Livers. I think Isaiah Livers could be second team All Big Ten this year. I also think he could still be a standstill shooter who has trouble dribbling the ball and, is kind of a guy who's always scratching the surface.
I think he could be second team All Big Ten if he's just a standstill shooter. I mean, there's going to be a lot of shots for him if you can get them for him.
True.
Yeah, I think it was really close for me between Michigan and Illinois. I just see more maybe upside or more players I'm buying really into to have a breakout year this year on Illinois than Michigan. And that's where I went to put them 5th. Where you had Illinois 6th. I think you called them something like an easy buy in your
And I think
story.
They are.
Are you in on Illinois NCAA tournament this year or not?
If I'm putting money on it today in Vegas, I would bet for them to be in the NCAA tournament. I think, like an 11 seed. But in the tournament. Okay.
Playing type of team.
Yeah. Are they going to play defense? I have no... Like, it's... I love their talent. I love AO. Love Georgie. Kofi Cockburn. I took a flyer on him as my freshman of the year. Why not? But they did lose 21 games last year.
What
program record?
What percent? And they played like the fifth hardest schedule in Division
One. No doubt. But
what? Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
What percentage chance do you give it that Brett Underwood throws out his pressure trapping whatever bullshit defense this year at some point in the year?
Well, from what I've read, like, he has said that that's not off the table, and I think they did some. I think they went to Italy or something like that, and they played a more straightforward brand of defense. I think at least experimented with it. Is my understanding.
Music to my ears. Yeah, that, they need to. It doesn't work.
There's no reason to play the way that they do with the guys they have. It doesn't.
But
make
I do
sense.
Think the offense can work, and I think the offense can be really good. And I like the pieces. I think some of those young wings, other than AO, will have kind of a breakout year. I just think that it's such a make-or-break year for him that I think it's going to be all hands on deck, whereas last year was sort of you go to Maui the first month of the year, and you're, like, digging out from that from really day one, and it's really hard to create kind of positive momentum in a season that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think this year, I just like their chances. I think they make the tournament.
Yeah. And I also think it's good for Big Ten basketball when Illinois is good. Like, they need to be good. So, I'm definitely hoping that happens. But, you know, you can't ignore a conference team shot 52% against Illinois last year. It's not great. So,
the turnover or layup defense has to go.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you can't, in this conference, it just doesn't. It just does. It'll work every once in a while. You'll upset Michigan State on a night when they turn the ball over 25 times and everything will look great. But, you know, when you can still lose to Penn State because they're just going to slow the ball down and not turn it over and turn it into a grind out game, and you just have no idea how to play against it. So you're more likely in this conference that the latter is going to bring you down than the former will bring you up. So, I think that they could be – they're certainly the most interesting team in the league, I think, to watch, mainly because Georgie's the man. But I hope it happens. They're high – our friend of the podcast, Graham Couch, picked them to finish second in the league, which is – it's a bold. It's a bold play. I don't see that. Not only did he pick them second, he disparaged the rest of the writers in the conference for picking them – an average of seventh, which is where they finished in the poll.
I mean, seventh is low. I picked fifth.
What do you
think
about two?
It's high. You got to take a stand. I'm not gonna hate on anyone for taking a stand in the poll after I picked Indiana to win the league last year. So
that is a fair point.
I can't throw fire in that regard.
That's a fair point.
I will say that this is kind of random, but last year, I think it's like Michigan State was the close to not consensus, but again, like, I think Michigan State's much more of a favorite this year than they were last year. Like, last year, I think you could look at other teams to potentially win it. This year, it's just ludicrous to do that. But Illinois second, I mean, hey, crazier things have happened. I think I tweeted out last night, I was looking back at some of the old polls. Nick Ward, sixth in all Big Ten voting last year.
Uh-huh.
Look back how that worked out. Bates Diop the year before, not on any all Big Ten votes. There are some other, I think Nebraska was picked third or fourth last year in the poll. So crazy things happen, and we don't really know as much as we think we know at this point in the calendar.
I mean, even look at Iggy last year. Like, my people were high on him, but I don't know if anyone was quite.
No, Romeo Langford got every freshman year vote.
Exactly. Lamar Stevens going into last year, was he quite on the...
Don't even get me started on Lamar Stevens. We'll get to that.
Okay. I want to talk about Indiana.
Yeah, you have them seventh, which is incredibly high.
Yes.
I know I was selling my Archie Island shares at a discount, but you were buying in here.
Again, I don't like the middle of the league below Illinois.
I think there's a drop off at six. Well,
I don't like the league. And sometimes you know, this is the prototypical, like, all right, someone has to do something unexpected, right? So I'm just going to go with Indiana. Is it crazy that they would be better without Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan? Yes. Is it
not
completely,
as crazy as
I was going to say, is it completely plausible? Yes. They can't shoot any worse than they did last year. They were an embarrassment. I think those numbers go up as Devontae Green takes on more of a lead role. I'm betting, I don't know if Finney takes a step forward, but this would be kind of reliant on him doing that a little bit. They have talented freshmen, obviously Trace Jackson Davis. We'll see what he can do. And part of this is hope in Jerome Hunter. I mean, anyone who listens to the podcast knows that we are both extremely high on Jerome Hunter if he is what we thought he could have been. If he plays this year and is someone who's going 25 minutes a night, I like Indiana more and more with that. It's a total gamble, but whatever. I was – myself and a couple other people picked Indiana to finish seventh. No one picked them any higher than that. So I realize it's maybe a stretch, but I'm fine with that.
Last year, Indiana, toxic season. They lose a couple of close games. Langford's hurt. The season just goes off the rails, really, when they got destroyed at Michigan. And then I think the expectations of having a one-and-done talent on your roster can sort of just pry a season apart if things go south by 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And that clearly happened with that team. It was just a mess. So I do think a hard reboot is a valuable thing. And I'm just not sure what the best case scenario, like, this is to me a team that is going to be fighting to get to 500, probably solid on defense. I just have a hard time seeing
you
them be a great offensive team.
If you're fighting if you're fighting to finish 500 and you finish about 500, you'll finish seventh or eighth in the league.
So this is going to be an Indiana team that's built inside out. They're going to have Jackson Davis, mm-hmm. Joey Brunk, Deron Davis. They're going to try to play from the inside, which should be interesting. It's different for them. I think, like you say, it comes down to shooters and who can space the floor. Is that Jerome Hunter? Is that just Devontae Green firing up 20 off-the-dribble threes a game? I don't know what it is. I guess we'll find out. Archie does not really have a track record of being a great offensive coach. But I think, though, I just think that having a clean slate for this team will be super valuable. I picked them ninth, which is still, I think, higher than where they were 10th in the poll, I believe.
Last year they did finish tied for eighth. Like,
yes, and they had a lottery pick and a all Big Ten.
I know, and I and everyone hated that team too.
I think everyone on the team hated the team.
Exactly.
Like, I just think it was a mess. And so I think Archie also has to make the NCAA tournament. Like, sometimes you got to get a little pep in your step and figure something out because. Mm-hmm. You have to, right? They have a really easy schedule to start the year. Should help them build some momentum.
And I think they finished last year pretty strong when it was clear that this was, okay, Romeo was going through some injuries. Other guys kind of stepped up a little bit.
I think anyone who covered Michigan State thinks they finished strong. Anyone else doesn't know how they finished.
They won their last four games of the regular season, including wins over Wisconsin and Michigan State, and then won two games in the NIT. Like, the way that's okay. At one point they were 4-12 in the conference. Like, they did finish strong, all things considered.
Fair. I don't know what that really means.
But, you know, I would imagine some of the guys who are back from last year are, you know, at least exited with, okay, we can be something once certain guys are gone.
If Jerome Hunter's Big Ten freshman of the year, as I projected, they have a chance to surprise a bit, I think.
No doubt.
I think if he's not, I don't know who on that team can be a multidimensional offensive threat. And that's a little scary when you just don't have that. You can talk about how many terrible shots Romeo Langford took. there's no one else on that team who could get a shot, and that's a real thing. And if Devontae Green is the only guy on that team that can get a shot, well, he doesn't get many passes, so that's a little bit scary for me also.
Demezie Anderson's kind of a forgotten guy there. Do you think there's any chance he turns into something this year?
Maybe. I'm not going to bet on it. I don't know. I don't love Justin Smith's trajectory.
Right.
I don't know what he really is as a player. So I don't know.
And the thing is, like, when we're talking about a team finishing between 7th, 8th, whatever, and you're saying, you know, I just don't know how many multidimensional offensive weapons there are. Well, you know, look from 6 below in the conference and find me how many multidimensional offensive weapons there are in this league.
That's fair. I do think that you I saw you breaking down some scheduling quirks in your picks, which was impressive. So I think that can come down to a lot of
sure.
how this part of the standings plays out, because your double plays, your single plays can kind of shape that. So we'll see on Indiana. I actually picked Minnesota ahead of them.
Ugh.
I don't know. We've like bought Whoa. Into each other's terrible takes from the past years here. I don't know what's going on.
Sell me on Minnesota doing anything. I think I picked them 12th, and I would put dollars on that.
So my pitch here is that I think that it will really help to have a point guard, and I think Marcus Carr is probably better than most people think.
Because of all that success they had at Pitt,
he was second in the ACC in assist rate on a just awful team. He had a year to sit out. He will certainly be better than the combination of Dupree McBrayer and Isaiah Washington
yes,
as a point guard.
I agree.
Having a point guard will help. Minnesota has reached some sort of tangential success in terms of making the NCAA tournament under Richard Pitino.
Oh, for God's sakes, that's a stretch.
Have they made the NCAA tournament? Have some of these other teams around here, Penn State, made the NCAA tournament? No. I think that...
I mean, they're also a year removed from going 4-14 in the league.
Gabe Kalscher's a legitimate 40%
three-point
shooter as a
freshman. They made the NCAA tournament the year before going 4-14 in the league. In 2017, they made the tournament. In 2018, they went 4-14 in the conference.
Okay, let's just keep going through the roster here. Oturu, one of the best young bigs in the league.
I'd put my money on Steve Peichel in a cage match with Richard Pitino. Okay, go ahead.
I never loved Jordan Murphy. He's like one of those guys who you build a statue for because he has all these crazy stats, but what's the ceiling of a team whose best player is Jordan Murphy?
I agree.
So I think sometimes it's just better to move forward.
Well, yeah, when you have to build your offense around a guy whose best offense is catching it deep and then putting it off the rim three times, getting his own offensive rebounds, and then scoring, you're in trouble.
Kind of a similar situation at Wisconsin where mm-hmm. Ethan Happ was amazing. I think he might have limited everyone else on that roster a bit just because you had to play through Hap. So I'm curious to see. I just think there's pieces at Minnesota. They have a
I like
from Drexel. They have another transfer from Vanderbilt
who
is a bit of a shooter.
That's the thing. So here's my thing with Minnesota.
Four-star freshman. There's good pieces.
People are talking about, okay, they got these two transfers who are ready to go. There are two guys who left like two of the worst college basketball teams in the history of modern college basketball. This Willis coming from Vanderbilt, Carr coming from Pitt. I don't, like, preface it, I know nothing about either. They could be very good. But if that's what you're selling me on Minnesota this year, I'm not buying that. If you want to tell me, I always butcher his name, Kalscher?
Kalscher, yeah.
If you want to tell me he's going to take a big leap forward, I could buy that. If you want to sell me on Daniel Oturu, I'll buy that. I think he's a guy who will maybe get a cup of coffee in the league.
I'm not selling you on Willis. I'm selling you on Carr. I think Carr's a legit player. He put up good numbers in the ACC, and he's had a year to sit out. I think that's huge. I think, would you take him over, like, Curtis Jones, who's going to be, what, Penn State's point guard? Give me a break. I mean, he's legit for this part of the league. He's an ACC caliber player, even if he was on a terrible team. Best point guard Minnesota's had since Nate Mason. I just think you underrate how bad that team's guard play was last year, and having a real point guard could really help things.
I think Minnesota's going to be absolute trash this year. Sorry.
We'll keep an eye on it. You are the Minnesota Whisperer, although you've picked them, I think, like third in the league when they went 4-14. So maybe we shouldn't be listening to you.
That's a good point.
You had Wisconsin at 8th.
I do.
That's low.
They were picked as high as 4, as low as 8, where I have them, and their average finish in the poll was 6th. I don't see where the buy-in on Minnesota is either. I mean, if Kobe King and Nate Reavers are taking big leap forwards, maybe. I'm not excited by Trice. I think he can shoot, but if he's not making threes, I kind of shrug. Brad Davison is underwhelming in my book, and I just think talent wise this is a team that is about middle of the pack, and I don't know, I gambled a little bit on Indiana, right? So that knocked Wisconsin back 1, so I think 8th is pretty reasonable for this team. And people are like, they could be better by losing Ethan Happ. Wisconsin went 14-6 in the Big Ten last year, and a lot of that had to do with having Ethan Happ. And he's an easy guy to pick apart, but he was also probably the best defensive big in the league, the best rebounder in the league, and he scored on a team that struggled to score.
Trice can just shoot, you say, but Michigan State listeners will realize that a Trice who can start making threes can take your team quite away. I think he'll have a good year. I like him as the main shot taker in that team. I think he's a good off-the-dribble shooter. I like the potential there. I don't love running a team through Brad Davison, as we saw. I think that was 2 years ago, where he just kind of dribbled the air out of the ball. They were all injured, and he just sort of threw the ball around. I was not into that. I have a hard time. I think this is a team that's right on the edge of making the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
And I think they're going to double down on just playing some of the most ugly Wisconsin basketball we've seen in a while. I think it's going to be a throwback in that regard. The defense was really good last year. I don't know who scores. I'm not buying Kobe King as a breakout player. Mm-hmm. You can't be a breakout player every preseason and just never do anything.
Fair.
And watch, he'll probably break out now, but he just hasn't showed it for me. I don't know. I picked him 7th, so I'm not that far off from you. It's just tough to figure out. I think they probably have a more tried and true way to grind out 11 wins in the league, right? Like,
fair.
You can trust like that. I don't know that it's a lot harder to get to 14 with this roster.
And God forbid, I know this is narrative shit and you don't like it, but Wisconsin is also going to be playing with probably more emotion than any team in the country. They've had a trying off season that you wouldn't wish on anyone. And that's the type of stuff that does have resonating effects, I think, on a locker room. And it when shit goes sideways, right, which it does in every season, good or bad teams, teams that I think have a better emotional bond are more likely to work through those things. And this team will most definitely have that. Like, I think you put it very well when you said this is going to be a team that's just kind of fighting for an NCAA tournament bid all season. I'll buy that.
Yeah,
and like, and if you're 8th in the Big Ten or 7th in the Big Ten, like, you should be in that conversation.
Yeah, I think, and you're not going to want to play this team, I don't think. I think that's nothing new for the Big Ten, but it's going to be especially true with this group.
If you do that, like, I think an 8-12 team, again, will get a tournament bid this year out of the Big Ten. Happened last year. Think it'll happen again this year. At least 9-11. You can have a losing record in this league and get in again, without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, obviously depends on the November, December, how the teams do in the non-conference, right?
Sure.
Like, I think the Big Ten's worse overall this year than it was last year.
Agree.
I feel like we say that every year, though.
Agree.
I mean, it seems like the Big Ten, I don't know. It's hard to get, excited about the Big Ten in the preseason, but then you also see some of these more experienced teams might knock off a few teams that might be a little sexier in the preseason magazines in November.
Right.
I think the coaching talent in the league is still very strong, and I don't know where I put Greg Gard in that spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
kind of trying to figure that out.
Right.
And these couple years here sort of tell us that, I think.
I agree. But yeah, the league, I mean, you did lose a Hall of Fame caliber coach out of the conference. You did lose a first-team All-American, Carson Edwards. Like, there is a drop-off in star power, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm. Michigan lost two pros.
Right. Outside of Michigan State, like, there are... I don't know how many NBA players are in the conference right now. And this is how it always is in the Big Ten, because the league doesn't get McDonald's All-Americans. There's five stars are at a premium in this league. They just don't... They're not here. So it's always kind of like, which conglomeration of talent is going to somehow figure out a way to go 13-7 and lose in the second round of the NCAA tournament?
Sounds about right. I think Gavoni had two Big Ten players in the top, maybe only one in the first round in his latest mock draft.
Sounds right to me.
Shows how much pro talent there is.
Right. I want to talk about Iowa. They were picked as high as 4, picked as low as 12, and finished in the poll at 8. This is a team.
Who picked them 4th? Do they read the news? Like, or do they know some news that we don't know? I'm just curious there.
Let me look it up here. I got it right here. Iowa was picked 4th by Christopher Hetty of the Omaha World Herald. That's that. Okay. So the Midwest knowledge, but at the same time, Mark Emmert, who covers Iowa for the Des Moines, what's it, Des Moines Register, I want to say? Yeah, Des Moines Register. He picked them 12th. So
the more you know.
The beat writer is not buying on Iowa, which is always interesting. It's always very interesting to see where the team's beat writers pick their teams. You and I are both all in on Joe Wieskamp and Luka Garza, I feel like. Everything else from there is dice rolling. I mean, as we've talked about, you lose probably Jordan Bohannon for the year after the hip surgery. You lose Tyler Cook. You lose Isaiah Moss.
I have one more constant.
Nicholas Bear graduated. So that's where they're at. Nope.
One more thing I'm
sure
about.
The McCaffrey boys need to be legit for this team to be anything other than
this team
9 or 10 in the league.
This team won't play any defense.
What makes you say that the last two years?
Bottom two spots in the league in defense the last 2 years. I don't know why you're going to think that now a team with Luka Garza or Joe Wieskamp is going to suddenly be this great defensive team. Neither is particularly great defensively.
Is there any way they rewrite this narrative? I mean, in 2016, Iowa finished 30th in the country in defensive efficiency. In 2015, they finished 34th in the country. In 2013, they finished 24th in the country. Those are all Fran McCaffrey teams. What is the deal here from your days of Iowa watching?
I just think it's gone off the rails in the last 3 years. I don't know if it's personnel or what it is, but it is not working, and
it just doesn't make sense to, like, Fran is not an idiot. He has been a head coach for a very long time. Took 3 different programs to the NCAA tournament. Like, he surely has not just given up on defense. I don't think his coaching philosophy is just like, all right, fuck it, we're done with defense. Let's just go all in on offense. Like, that's not what's going on. They're just terrible at defense.
Do you think it's because they've played too big of late?
Two bigs, is that what you said?
Like, yeah,
yeah.
I said too big, like multiple bigs, too much size makes it really hard to play perimeter defense with the way basketball has kind of shifted at the college level.
It could be that. It could be just recruiting, just poor on the ball defenders.
If Bohannon plays, I think this team probably could be a top 3 offense in the league, right? Like, they have that offensive ceiling with some of the pieces mm-hmm. here, but without him, I just don't really see that all coming together and working.
I would agree. I don't know. I thought, does 8 sounds right? 8-9, somewhere in there?
Yeah, and I mean, for all we know, Bohannon could get cleared and play in the Big Ten season, right? Like, maybe he comes back in January. We don't know how that will play out.
Fran will have to update that at Media Day on Wednesday in Chicago. I hope. I mean, he's a fun player to watch, one of the more exciting guys in the league. So, you scoffed when I said Rutgers at – what did they finish at, 13?
Rutgers finished 11th in the – no, finished 12th, 12th in the poll.
All right. I don't know why I scoffed that hard. I had them at 11th.
You were saying Rutgers should be – you said Rutgers was too low, but, yeah, you only have them a spot ahead.
Right, right. Mainly because I think Minnesota is trash. So,
wow.
I actually think Rutgers has a chance to finish, like, 10th. Maybe even higher.
Well, yeah, I don't love Iowa. I don't love Penn State.
Right.
I mean, those teams are all sort of – I think Steve Peichel is a better coach than some of those programs have. The Omaruyi transfer really hurts.
That sucks.
You can't – like, just losing your best player on a Friday night in the summer is just a tough way to right.
The day that go. You announce you're going to play at a game in his home city.
Yeah,
now Rutgers is playing a game in Toronto for no freaking reason.
Not great.
So – but, I mean, we've talked about Geo Baker. He's a big-time scorer, all that, blah, blah, blah. You know, what's Jacob Young? I don't know. Texas transfer I'm coming in.
Confident he'll get shots up. We'll see if they go down.
Exactly.
The transfer from Stony Brook, mm-hmm. Yeboah, I think, or something along those lines, he's basically a guy who kind of looks like a Omaruyi replacement right. in a lot of ways. He'll do a lot of that same stuff. So, in that sense, it kind of...
yeah.
works nicely.
But I want to see Rutgers finish like 10th or 11th, get into the NIT, get into the postseason. It just seems like a program that is like, are the steps coming slowly? Yes. But those steps are very clearly being made. Peichel can coach. His dudes play for him. Would I say like Rutgers is a program on the rise? I don't know about all that, but like
getting to
respectable Big Ten basketball. Yes, they got a recruit this year who had offers from UConn and Florida, Xavier Marquette, Paul. I'm going to butcher his last name. Mulcahy, I'm guessing is what it is. Mulcahy. I don't know. 6'6" combo guard scorer who had scholarship offer from UConn and Florida. Rutgers doesn't get that recruit, right? But he's a Jersey kid and he stayed home because Peichel looks like he's actually building something. So, I'm saying go Rutgers, man.
That's fair. I have big beef with your 13 and 14 picks. I think you made these picks so that your column could sound nicer. That's my theory. You had a better joke lined up for Nebraska, so you picked Nebraska last.
Is it wrong?
To pick Nebraska last?
No, is it?
Or was the joke better?
Is the joke wrong?
It's yes, because I can name Cam Mack, and I think he's going to be really good.
Okay.
Number 3 JUCO recruit in the country.
Congratulations. You are the one person who can name anyone on Nebraska's roster on September 30th.
But you literally listed all of these reasons that Northwestern is going to be terrible in the spot before them.
Yes, and I think Nebraska, that roster is ridiculous. No, like, are they going to be okay in 3 years? Yeah, they'll be fine. But this is tossed together JV roster. Like, shit, say what you will about Northwestern, but like I've seen Anthony Gaines and AJ Turner play Big Ten basketball. Was it good? No. But like, do I feel like they can pull a couple wins out of their ass? Yeah, probably. Nebraska? I don't know. I don't know if Nebraska goes 4-16 or 0-18.
So here's the thing. I'm all in rooting for the Fred Hoiberg project.
Absolutely.
The Big Ten needs it.
Absolutely.
Pace and space in the Big Ten is everything we need. We need his offense. I loved his Iowa State teams.
Also a great environment that needs to stay a great environment.
I would take Fred Hoiberg as a coach over Chris Collins 10 days in a row. I would take them with the worst rosters in the league. If you said they're going to coach a team of Big Ten beat writers, I would think Hoiberg would win more games than Chris Collins. I think that Nebraska's approach, I like it, and I think that they're just far more likely to finish ahead. I don't think there's any doubt that Northwestern finishes last in the league.
Wow. Do we, you want to put another one on this?
Sure.
I'll go for it. Okay.
Cellar Dwellers. I just don't see it.
You referenced the schedule research I did here. This is where it hit. This is unnecessary for the league office to do this to Northwestern. I'm sure it wasn't purposefully done, but nonetheless, drawing the short straw, Northwestern gets Illinois, Maryland, Michigan State, and Purdue as double plays, and also gets single road trips to Indiana and Wisconsin. So that might be 2, 4, 6, 8. That might be your 10 losses right there. I'll say they go 3-7 in their other games, finish 3-17, and Nebraska finishes 2-18.
Okay.
What did Hoiberg do in his first year at Iowa State?
Whatever he did it fast.
He went 3-13 in his first year in the Big 12.
Okay.
Probably with a roster that looks a lot like this one at Nebraska. Just a bunch of transfers, JUCOs, couple random freshmen, and that's it. Being thrown into a league of established teams.
Yeah, the Big 12 is another beast. We'll see. I just am excited to see how that Nebraska team looks, and I think they obviously have a better home court advantage than Northwestern. I'm curious. I'm excited. They're one of the, you might make fun of their roster, but they're one of the teams I can't wait to watch early in the season.
Yeah, as no, much as I mean, and you know, I feel the same way on that for sure. I'm not criticizing Hoiberg. Like, this is what you had to do. They had to turn that thing over, right? Clear the deck and start bringing his dudes in. But I just think it's going to, you know, next year they'll go 6-14, and then suddenly the next year they'll go 12-8. And it'll be Hoiberg basketball, and that place will be cooking.
I'll buy it. All right. You want to talk about all Big Ten teams a little bit?
Before we do that, I want to ask you, so Rutgers fired its head football coach yesterday, Chris Ash, which got me thinking this morning, who will be the next Big Ten coach handed his walking papers?
I want to start in State College.
Okay.
But he just got an extension. I don't know how much of a paper extension that is or whatnot.
Thing. Both Chambers and Patino each got extensions. Although, wait a second. Chambers got his extension not last year, but after the previous year when they went to the NIT. He got a bump because I think his contract was literally expiring. And Patino got a 2-year extension last year.
If the Illinois project doesn't work, would Underwood be on the list?
I think Underwood could be on the list. I think if Wisconsin takes a massive step back, Greg Gard could be in the conversation. No?
I don't see that.
Say Wisconsin goes 5-15 or something. You don't think that there would be lots of noise out of Madison?
I can't see it. He's been to the Sweet 16 twice. NCAA tournament, it would be 3 or 5 years if they missed it. I agree.
I don't think Greg Gard should be fired. I'm just trying to think of potential scenarios, and Greg Gard is always going to, until he does it his own way, he's always going to have that. He did it with Bo's players, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
This is Greg Gard's team.
What about Chris Collins?
Another.
Like, I think there's this mystique around him, but I mean, that's the guy I would look to for. I don't see that going anywhere positive.
Yeah.
I know he's like recruiting talent, but if you're recruiting these 4 stars and they're not changing the program, I mean, at some point you have to figure out how to win. I know they made the NCAA tournament, this, that, but that's the guy I would look at before anyone else. But I think he's sort of, I don't know how you deal with the fact that he's the only coach to ever make the NCAA tournament.
I agree. I agree.
It's a tough.
I think this league has some, like, I think there is going to be sooner rather than later, a almost kind of title shift. That's title, T-I-D-A-L, shift in coaching chairs coming very soon. I think there's going to be a new wave of guys coming in here in the next year or two.
What about Turgeon?
Hey, man. If
that's the one
if
could
Maryland's
see.
A bubble team this year, I think he's going to be a bubble coach.
I like that.
You know? And is that because fair? It's hard.
Last year was one of the only years where we didn't have a new coach in the Big Ten, I believe, right?
That sounds right.
This year we have, what, two?
Two, but one was a departure by choice, which rarely happens in the league.
True. But still, two new coaches. I thought last year was really weird that there was no turnover.
Right.
But
like Turgeon at the end of the day has still... I had it right here. He's won 12 or more games and reached the NCAA tournament in 4 of the 5 years since Maryland joined the Big Ten. And it's like, that's really good. And I know Maryland basketball is a huge thing, but like, it's also really easy to not do that.
I agree, you know? But you know what Maryland Hoops fan 123 is tweeting out now?
It's goddamn
Fire
right.
Turgeon, right?
We
like
need 5
of
stars,
any
go cheat your balls off, and
of
let's
any
go.
Program, I think that fan base is probably one of the most anxious.
Yeah.
Have you seen? And the I know game they've there? Had. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I love it, and they got the. Like, with the little dance, what's the synchronized dance thing called? They had a couple years of flash dance,
flash mob
dance. Yeah,
you could make a case. I think Maryland is, if they're really good, Maryland can nudge past Breslin as the second best venue in the Big Ten.
Maryland's problem is that winning the Big Ten wouldn't even be enough for Maryland.
True.
Because you can't win the ACC if you win the Big Ten. Like, there's just this whole thing that they think it's because they're not in the ACC, I feel like it downplays anything that Turgeon does. And that's not going to change with a new coach.
It'll
so
still
I don't
always
know what
be,
the answer is.
What is Duke and North Carolina doing? Because that's what Maryland still looks at.
Exactly. I just don't know how you're going to... And so somehow, because I think Turgeon was the coach when they switched leagues, they say, well, he couldn't get it done in the ACC. The Big Ten just sucks, so he wins games in the Big Ten.
Are they wrong?
I don't know. I think that's the opinion, though, and that kind of formulates how people think about
it. Yeah. It is pretty telling that he didn't do dick in the ACC for the 5 years leading into his 5 years in the Big Ten.
It's a data point.
It is. All right, let's get into all league teams. We're already over an hour. I can't imagine anyone still listening to this, but all right, the all-conference team was... Cassius Winston, unanimous, 28 votes, obviously. Lamar Stevens with 26 of 28, appeared on 26 of 28 ballots, which was interesting. Ayo DeSumo, Anthony Cowan, and Caleb Wesson. That's your five-man official, unofficial, first-team, all-conference picks. That's Winston, Stevens, DeSumo, Cowan, Wesson.
How many were on your ballot?
Two.
Who were your two? I thought I was going against the grain with three.
I had Cassius, Lamar Stevens, Xavier Simpson, Jalen Smith, Joe Wieskamp.
Wieskamp, okay. I had Cassius Winston, DeSumo, Cowan, Simpson, and Smith.
Right. You were one of two ballots. You and Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News. Shout out Matt. He's a loyal listener. Were two guys who had Lamar Stevens not on their first team. And I respect the pick. I will not counter.
It's ridiculous to me that he would be on 26 of 28 ballots.
I don't disagree.
For a team that will be lucky. Has
but
never
you know
finished
why
above
he
500. Because he gets empty counting stats.
No, it's because he was first team all conference last year. That's why.
What that was a mistake also. I mean, that doesn't mean
he
that...
wasn't only on the media first team. He was also coach's first team all league.
I think he's one of the five most talented players. I don't think he'll be one of the five best players in the league based on what he'll do in that in what system and how many games.
But he
he'll
did
win.
It last year.
No, he wasn't. He is incredibly inefficient. he puts up huge counting stats numbers because
his three-point percentage can't go lower, so he'll be better this year.
Okay. I just... So what? If you score 25 points a game for a team that finishes 6-14, are you a first-team All-Big Ten player? I think the answer we've decided is yes, because that's how people vote, right. But I don't think that's right.
I think you hit it on that. I put him on my first team because I think he's one of the five best players in the conference.
That's fair. I don't think he can have one of the five best seasons in the conference.
But like we've said this before, like he's not Corey Sanders. He's not some of the old Penn State guards of yesteryear just filling it up. He is
Corey Sanders.
He's a high-level rebounder. He's a good defender, and he can score the ball. And I think his three-point shooting will improve.
He was Corey Sanders on February 1st when Penn State was 0-10. He was a first-team All-Big Ten player when they won seven games in the last month of the year that didn't really matter.
He was better.
He's – okay. I like him. I think I'd love to see him on a good team.
Yes.
That's how I'd put it. If you were picking – if you were playing pickup, he would be a top pick. Because you he's a dude. He'll kill him. I mean, but I just – your ceiling as an offensive player in Pat Chambers' offense is very low, regardless of your talent level.
I don't disagree. So, of the also receiving votes here, I'll rattle these names off real quick. Xavier Simpson barely missed. He was one vote off. Jalen Smith was two votes off. And then there's a huge drop down to Joe Wieskamp, Xavier Tillman, Nojel Eastern, Georgie Bashanisvili, Matt Harms, Geo Baker, and Aaron Henry all kind of gathered one, two, three votes, whatever.
Matt Harms, what's going on here?
Let's call out whoever this is. Hold on.
No offense to Matt Harms, like he's a good player,
certainly
but
a good player, but
he's not a first team All Big Ten.
Brian
player.
Neuber,
okay,
Purdue writer for Rivals, so
yeah,
he should know what he's talking about, right?
He should.
I like Brian taking a gamble. There's nothing wrong with that, as we've said. Geo Baker was an interesting one, I thought. That one.
I like the correlation with Rutgers finishing in last place in the league with that pick.
Mark Emmert, again, Des Moines Register, goes with Geo Baker on the first team while also picking Rutgers to finish dead fucking last. So that would be one of the all-time feats in Big Ten history. Right?
Lamar Stevens could do it.
Penn State's not finishing last.
Okay.
And in fairness, near there's Rutgers, but... if anyone were ever to ever do that, that would be I'd go deep dive feature story on that accomplishment.
Xavier Tillman, two votes.
Unbelievable.
Both from Michigan State beat writers.
I almost like Xavier Tillman's six on mine.
What does it mean if only like is it one of those things where it's kind of like Xavier Simpson, the more you see him, the more you appreciate him?
Yeah, I just think the rest of the league doesn't realize that.
What do you think that is?
But I don't. This is what I don't understand. Like Michigan State went to the Final Four last year. Like, were people not watching them in the NCAA tournament? There's a good chance. There's actually a very good chance that that is the case.
Seasons were over. Vacations were scheduled. I mean, I don't know.
I just don't see. I think the two biggest complaints here now. Maybe it's because of I cover Michigan and Michigan State, but I think Xavier Simpson, as I tweeted, is Xavier Simpson was looking for a reason to be pissed off again, which he tends to do. Well, he has one here, you know, the constant chip on the shoulder. He can say, well, I mean, I think it's nonsense that he was picked below Anthony Cowan, but that's just me. And then the other complaint is Xavier Tillman getting two votes is pretty crazy. Now, in fairness, I did not give Xavier Tillman a vote. So what do I really have to say there? But I'll get my last laugh with Joe Wieskamp.
I'm really curious. I think it's wide open. In terms of who that fifth spot is, I think you had a stat in your story about not how the last time there was two All Big Ten players from the same team. When was that?
It was Zeller and Oladipo. So that was 2012.
Oladipo, sorry.
2012?
Yeah, 12-13.
12-13. That was the last time that there were teammates who were first team all conference. That was the only reason I kept Xavier Tillman off mine.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't like putting Jalen Smith on my team. I put Dosunmu and Smith as my last two just because I thought they were like the two highest ceiling
totally
talent prospects, right?
Right.
But I think it's wide open. If you, like, who's the fifth team that gets someone on? Is it Ohio State. Like Caleb Wesson. Is it someone from Ohio State that gets on? Is it someone from Purdue? I don't know, Michigan.
Right.
And I guess you could say Simpson would be that guy. But right. Simpson is sort of just generally always underappreciated. Most preseason magazines did not have Xavier Simpson as a first-team All-Big Ten player, despite the fact that he was on one of the two teams last year.
Right. I think you could see someone from Purdue, right? So, like, I would put Eastern in that conversation. I know you're rolling your eyes over there. That's fine. But, yeah, I think... Put it this way, there's certainly a number of names that I would come up with before Caleb Wesson, who was the fifth spot on the actual media team.
Do you think roster construction played a part? Like, I almost put a team of 5 point guards in. Do you think people would shy away from doing that?
I can't speak for other people. That thought doesn't even cross my head, my mind. Does it yours? Do you worry about having, like...
No, but I was just picking the top point guards in the league on my team. For all intents and purposes, it was Simpson, Cowan, Winston, Dosunmu.
Right. Okay.
I don't know if that could have got a guy like Harms in. If you're like, who's the best big guy? Right.
All right. Well, anyone. If you're saying Matt Harms, I don't know where it is. So, all right. Let's. Big Ten Player of the Year was obviously Cassius Winston. I don't really think we need to talk about that. It would, although the only interesting nugget there that I looked up is he would be the first Big Ten back-to-back player of the year since. What's your guess?
Sullinger?
Nope. Further back.
I don't know. Should I know it?
I mean, it's worth at least a guess. Jesus Christ.
Illinois or something back in the... When,
no, it was
2006.
Mateen Cleaves.
Oh, way back.
Yeah. 98-99. Before that, you'd go back to Jim Jackson. So, pretty solid company, I imagine, when Cassius Winston collects his hardware this time around. So,
did you look up how many Big Ten Player of the Years have returned to school and not won it again?
I didn't, but I mean, I have the list here. I don't know how many guys. Let's rattle this off. Swanigan, one is a sophomore and left. Stauskas, one is a sophomore and left. Burke, one is a sophomore and left. Evan Turner, one is a junior. He did not play as a senior, right?
Yeah, he left after his junior year.
Kalen Lucas, one is a sophomore.
He came back,
He came back? Okay, well, there you go. Interesting.
That's an interesting one. I can't see Cassius Winston not winning Player of the Year this year.
Yeah, would be...
Assuming a healthy season and everything.
Yeah, I mean, the guys who were... The interesting thing is that the guys who were picked in recent years...
Haven't won.
It's been, you know, your Ethan Happ was a trendy pick.
Who was 2 years ago? Last year? Oh, 2 years ago, yeah.
I mean, the pick last year was Carson Edwards, and... He was basically right there. He just got edged by a like historically good year by Cassius Winston. So there's no knock there. But also, like, I mean, Carson Edwards was also picked apart last year in terms of like hyper analysis of how good is he, right? But I feel like barring Cassius doing what he did down the stretch last year, Carson Edwards would have won undoubtedly.
I mean, is there any chance Cassius Winston shoots 30% from 3-point range for a 3-month span? Like, that's how he could not win it, right?
Yeah, I don't.
And he's a career, 45%?
Yeah, I feel like last year was the lowest possible percentage that he'll shoot.
He did slump late in the year, right?
No doubt.
Like a 6-7 game slump.
Yeah.
I
mean, if you, the glaring thing that really no one talks about when it comes to Cassius, because it's almost all praise, is that his 3-point shooting from his sophomore year, which was like, off the charts, 49, almost 50%, dropped all the way down to 39.8%. That's pretty
significant. Well, he shot more.
I'm not...
You have to drop.
I agree. But I think he... Like, what is he? He's probably like a 43, 44% shooter, and that's what he'll be this year.
What I said before last year was it's criminal if he shoots 50% again because that means he didn't shoot enough.
Right, so, but he only went from 4.3 attempts to 5.4 attempts. He did not.
Yeah, he shot another 63s.
Right, but he didn't double his attempts per game, or something like that.
No, but it's inevitable that he's going to be closer to his career average than 50%. If he, you know, I mean, I think 43% is where you set the over under for his shooting.
I agree. And I would probably take the over.
But guys have had weird shooting slumps. So yeah, that's, I guess that's the only way it goes wrong for me with Cassius Winston.
Yeah.
I have a lot of beef with, or just confusion about, I just want to talk about freshman of the year.
Yeah. This is the last thing we're going to close out on. I wanted to get into this.
I want to know your thought process for voting this award in the preseason.
I think the Ohio State guys will cancel each other out.
Yes.
I think Franz, I want to see him play. I just had a hard time rolling the dice on him. I have seen Kofi Cockburn play in person. Like, I've stood next to the guy, and he is shockingly huge. I just, like, I look at size and athleticism in the Big Ten, and I feel like he could just be a dynamic player where people who see him for the first time start freaking out, and he becomes a thing, right? So, and they can play him and Georgie together. Now, they're going to be playing two traditional posts because, like, I don't see Georgie being magically becoming a guy who can step out and stretch the floor.
He can shoot a little bit.
I mean, his three-point numbers next year were not great. It would be a development if he's, like, a guy who
but
shoots threes.
If you're allowed to shoot threes as a freshman, you can probably shoot a little bit.
Yeah.
I would say,
but like they,
there's a chance.
Point being, like, Illinois needs Kofi Cockburn, so I think he's going to play and have, okay, and have a chance to be a impactful player on a team that will be in the mix for an NCAA tournament. Like, they will, Illinois is going to be a storyline, so I think Kofi's going to be a storyline. That was my pick with him. I like your Jerome Hunter pick, but I don't know if he's going to play.
That's
which
fair.
Is significant. I was really between Kofi, Franz, and Trace Jackson Davis.
Yeah, so I start and I look at opportunity and role.
Right.
And a good freshman is, like, talent is important, but there are a lot of guys, like, Rocket Watts might be the best freshman, mm-hmm, but he's not going to have the best season because of the players around him.
Right.
I don't see the role that everyone else apparently sees for these Ohio State guys. Because 19 of the 28 votes were for people on Ohio State,
mm-hmm,
and that roster is just so deep. I don't know how you're going to have – I mean – I know, like, Carton was pitched on being this freshman of the year as a freshman. Like, he's obviously going to play. CJ Walker literally started for an Elite Eight team, mm-hmm, 2 years ago. He's a grown man.
Great.
He's going to probably be a better defender. He's going to play. He's going to be on the floor.
And he spent a year in the system last year.
Mm-hmm.
Ran the scout team, I'd imagine. You know, traveled with them in the NCAA tournament, because that's when you're allowed to travel. Yeah, like, I think you could bring up a great point with CJ Walker, that he's just comically forgotten, overlooked. Like, I would love to watch Ohio State workouts right now, probably more than almost any other team in the league, just to see who the, yes, hell is getting what spot time.
And then Liddell, he might be a nice piece, but you have all these kind of combo forward guys on, mm-hmm, the roster. Like, Andre Wesson is kind of best at that spot. Yep. He's a senior. How many minutes is that guy going to play? I don't get it. Trace Jackson Davis, I can buy that. Mm-hmm. Indiana just needs players, and he'll play a key role. I really was down to Franz or Jerome Hunter. I think I'm pretty confident that Franz Wagner is gonna play, mm-hmm, on this Michigan team, and I think there's a role for him. There's so much uncertainty, I didn't go in that direction. I didn't even think about Cockburn because Georgie, and I think that kind of limits his ceiling in terms of what he can do. Jerome Hunter, I mean, it's a risk, but I think I would not be surprised if someone wins freshman of the year that didn't get a single vote for this award.
I'll buy that.
I think it could just be someone completely off the board.
Malik Hall?
It's Trey Williams at Minnesota, something like that.
Malik Hall?
Malik Hall, maybe. There's not enough shots to go around for him.
Sure.
I mean, there's too many mouths to feed at Michigan State for someone to win.
I'm just trying to throw out names.
Nebraska could have someone, right, put up huge numbers.
Right.
Cam Mack would be the guy if JUCOs were eligible, but I don't think he's a freshman.
Right.
So I don't know. It's a really interesting year because last year, Romeo was the consensus favorite. And that pick, Brasdeikis won the award, I think, right?
Yes.
Or did Romeo win?
No, Brasdeikis won.
But either way, Romeo was the
Which
right
reminds me,
he had that opportunity.
I made a bet with one of, like, with some Indiana writer, I forget who it was, on January 1 that Brasdeikis was going to be freshman of the year.
Cash in those chips.
I know.
Someone better
find me and bring me a beer, Big Ten Media Day, because I definitely won that, but go for it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's a wide open year, and there's just not a lot of opportunity for freshmen because there's so many kind of stacked rosters. Like, Maryland has really good freshmen coming in, but I don't know where they fit in, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's just, it's all sort of up in the air for me. That's why I went with Hunter. I think we don't know. He's cleared to play. We don't know if that means he'll play in games or whatnot. If he's there, I would have thought about him as a, just he makes sense for what that team needs.
If he were 100% going into last year, I would have considered him last year.
Over Langford?
Even with Langford.
Yeah. And maybe these Ohio State guys are the team, and they're playing 30 minutes a game and using 24% of possessions. I just have a hard time seeing it.
Right.
So we'll see. Any other final takes? This was a lot of Big Ten talk.
It was.
It's good. We've done a lot of Michigan State. It's good to get into the Big Ten.
It is. No, not really. I mean, this is the thing that just jumps out to me is that it's Michigan State and then just a bucket of parity. And I think this thing, like usual, won't go as scripted. And in terms of who we're talking about, I think Michigan State, I'd be pretty surprised if they underperform this year. Like, this is not the Michigan State first place prediction of 3 years ago when it was Miles Bridges, Joshua Langford, Nick Ward, Cassius Winston returning with Aaron Harris and blah, blah, blah. Like, this team, I think this is about as proven as a preseason team as you can find. Even with losing, and I mentioned this in my write-up on Michigan State on the story, like, I think without a doubt, Matt McQuaid and Kenny Goins' departures are being undervalued or overlooked or however you want to say it, and that there's going to be some times in November and into December where Michigan State has some you know, down times, and Izzo's going to be storming into the press conference complaining about, I told you how good Matt McQuaid and Kenny Goins were, and we're paying for it right now. Like, that will happen without a doubt. By the time conference season hits January 1, I think this team is going to be an absolute force.
You know what it kind of reminds me of is when Zach Novak and Stu Douglas graduated after Michigan had won the Big Ten with Trey Burke and that team. And everyone was like, oh, these guys are real important. And they were incredibly important to that team. But you brought in Glenn Robinson and that whole class, and it turned out that just more talented players can also become good and also better in the long run. So I think that's kind of how I would look at, there will be maybe some growing pains, but it's for a better future.
And I'm not saying that, like, I'm picking, you know, Kentucky to win on January or on November 5th. I'm not saying, like,
Michigan's class.
I'm not saying Michigan State's going to be dropping games early. I'm just saying there's going to be some, you know, underwhelming moments where people say, this is the number one ranked team in the country. Like, they don't, you know, didn't look like it tonight or whatever. But, you know, I'm gun to my head, I still say when they tip off in.
How many games between Michigan State and number two in the conference?
Say that again?
How big of a gap between one and two in the conference standings when the season's over?
Oh, okay. I'll say Michigan State wins the Big Ten this year by two games.
Okay, I'll say three.
Okay. When's the last time there was a three-game gap? That's going back, my man. That's a lot. That's going back to Michigan 2014.
Right? 2014.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there's – I just don't see the high-level upside with a lot of these teams, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see that bunching, like, with the 20-game schedule, like that 10-10 mark where everything grows out from there. Like, how many teams do you have between that 12-8 and 8-12? this will be the experiment. Remember, we talked about this last year, where because the league did so well in non-conference play, that everyone around that 10-10 mark, those were the teams that benefited. The NCAA tournament bids were there to be had as long as you finished around 500 in the league because they kicked ass in non-conference. If there's an underwhelming non-conference, this will be the flip side of that 20-game schedule here. Because if they play like shit in non-league and no one really does anything outside of, you know, Michigan beating Duke in East Lansing or winning the Champions Classic or winning in Maui and, you know, maybe...
Michigan State.
What'd I say, Michigan? Sorry, Michigan State.
Been a long pod.
You know, if it's a marginal non-conference performance by the league and then you have that 20-game schedule and a lot of teams are around that 10-10 mark... It'll be very, very interesting. Last year, the league got eight bids. I think it could, if things play out the opposite, you know, how many does it get?
Six.
I don't know. We'll see.
Might have to move the NIT to Indianapolis.
There you go.
All right, I think we should wrap it up.
Okay.
It's been a long pod.
I have to write a story that I'm totally procrastinating on. So, all right, we'll let it go on that. Be sure to... send your thoughts on the Big Ten. Tweet at Dylan at UM Hoops. That's it. Don't bother me. And rate this podcast. We really appreciate any notes you leave on the iTunes store. And subscribe to UM Hoops. Subscribe to The Athletic. And be sure to tip your bartenders and your servers.